if you got your Bible tonight, and I know you do, are you ready to get in it? And it get in us. If you abide in it, and it abides in you, you can ask what you will, and it shall be done. Amen? This is my Bible. I am what it says that I am. I can do what it says I can do. I can have what it says I can have. Tonight, I will be taught the uncompromised Word of God. My mind is alert. My heart is receptive. I'll not leave the same as I came in Jesus' name. And every time I come to church on the rock, my faith, my life gets stronger and stronger. Give God just shout. Give Him a shout. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. All right, open your Bible tonight with me, please, to Psalm, the book of Psalm, Psalm 127. Now, on the weekends, we're talking about spiritual warfare. And we said last weekend, you got to have a good confession to have a good fight. And we looked at Jesus Christ before Pontius Pilate, and He did three things. That's called a good confession. When you say who you are in Him, when you say what you have in Him, when you say what you can do in Him. Think about it. We're being trained to do that every time before we open the Word of God at Church on the Rock. We're being trained for battle. Y'all connecting the dots, right? Amen. All right. Praise God. Psalm 127 tonight, we're talking about how to bring the best out in your kids. For Wednesday nights, just in July, we're talking about parenting. And you asked me in our survey if I would talk about, I think, headed toward the new school year, Pastor, give us some pointers from the Word of God that are practical that we can apply on how to raise up godly children in an ungodly world. Now, the principles that I'm sharing, you say, Pastor, I'm single tonight. It still works for you. Pastor, you know, I'm a grandparent. My nest, all the kids are gone. It still works for you. Because the principles will work in any relationship. And then let me just add this. We need all ages in our life. We need all ages. Young people keep us young as older people. And older people give wisdom to younger people. So we need both. And at Church on the Rock, you can see, I love the diversity in our ages at Church on the Rock. Because we're tri-generational. You ever notice this? And the Bible says He's the God of Abraham, Isaac, Jacob. Three generations. Do you know, we're talking about tonight, like Kim said, if you haven't signed up your kids or your grandkids, you can sign up in the back. There's sign up in the back for Summer Blast. I'm going to be there every day for Summer Blast, opening it up, our whole team, our whole staff. You know, we want to have a record. We want to see God do exploits. You know, we're only one generation away from extinction in the church. We're only one generation away from extinction. In other words, if we don't pour into the next generation, the church dies off because everybody old dies off. So we have to know how to transmit. We have to know how to transfer. We have to know how to pass on the baton to the next generation. Amen, church. So we're talking about that, and we looked at it a little bit last Wednesday night. Want to pick it up tonight. Want to make it real simple, very practical. Parents, you know, guardians, grandparents, we're under pressure. Life is busy. We don't have a margin. And yet we need to know that parenting is not a part-time job. We don't leave it to the daycare. We don't leave it to the church. We don't leave it to somebody else. We don't leave it to the school system. Parenting, grandparenting, is a full-time job. Amen? All right. So let's look at it tonight. How do you bring the best out in your kids? Let me give you four words that all start with the letter A. We looked at the first one last week. And how to bring the best out in our kids. Number one, acceptance. Acceptance. Our kids, our grandkids, or even kids you're mentoring, coaching, influencing. Some of you I know coach, you know, basketball teams and little league and soccer, those that we're influencing. But in the area, particularly in parenting and grandparenting, if we're going to bring the best out in them, they need to know they have our acceptance. And off to the side of that, right, they need to know it. They need to know that we love them unconditionally. That we love them unconditionally. There may be things they do we don't approve, but we love them. There may be things they do we don't approve, but we love them. You have to love them to lead them. You have to connect with them to direct them. You have to have a relationship before you give them rules. Boy, I just said enough right there to go home. Seriously, you have to connect with them before they'll listen to your correction, guidance. You have to connect before you can direct. You have to have a relationship before rules. Rules without a relationship in the home produce rebellion in your children. Rules without a relationship produce rebellion in your children. So number one, there has to be acceptance. And we could spend a whole session just on this. But you remember when Jesus, before he started his public ministry, when he came up out of the river and John the Baptist was baptizing him, do you remember God the Father said, "This is my beloved Son in whom I am well pleased." That's acceptance. You know, you really can't help others unless they know you accept them right there where they're at. So if we're going to bring the best out in our kids, grandkids, those that we're influencing, there has to be acceptance and they have to know it. And last week, Wednesday night, I told you how to do that. We talked about masterpiece, workmanship, unique, and how to bring that out in them. Number two, there has to be attention. You have to give them attention. Off to the side of that, they have to see it. I was with a young family the other day, and we were having lunch, and one of the younger kids, well, one of the kids there of the parents was trying to get their parents' attention and didn't have it, and the child, who's about 10 years old, got out of the chair, walked around, put both hands on the face of her father, and said, "Are you listening to me?" And she was 10 years old. What was she wanting? Attention. Attention. You know, we shouldn't be reading the paper or texting when we should be talking to our children, right? Or they're talking to us, right? It's one of the rudest things in the world is carry that phone around when people want to talk to you and you're sitting there texting. That's dishonor, disrespect. It shows non-attention. It says you're not valuable to me. You're not important to me. So if I'm going to bring the best out of my kids, I have to show them acceptance. They have to know it. They have to know it. What that does is it gives them confidence. It gives them self-value, okay? They think they're and know they're important. Number two, I have to give them attention, and they have to see that. Number three, I have to give them affection. Affection. Hugs and kisses. Hugs and kisses and touches. Kids who have been hugged, touched, held are healthier than those who aren't. Proven fact. So there has to be, well, Pastor, we're just not an affectionate family. Learn to be. Learn to be. Learn to be. Because if I'm going to bring the best out of my children, number one, I have to what? I have to show them acceptance. They have to know it. Number two, I have to give them attention. They have to see it. And number three, I have to give them affection. They have to feel it. Feel it. Feel it. There has to be. There has to be the hug, the hand, arm around the shoulder. There has to be affection. We were created for that. But I'm going to bring the best out in them. That has to be. They have to feel it. So then number four, the fourth word is affirmation. Affirmation. Affirmation, and they have to hear it. We should be speaking their potential over them. We should be speaking their destiny over them. We should be declaring and decreeing the word of God over them. And you don't have to quote a verse and speak it over them. You know, you can just speak in line with the word over them. Amen? You have to believe in them. You know, John Bevere, he called me the other day. He'd been to Italy. He'd been at Sicily. He said, "Pastor, I just came from the largest charismatic convention in all of Italy. I'm on my way back. I just wanted to call you, and I wanted to ask you, have you seen this movie?" Now, think about this, okay? He didn't ask me how was my dog and my cat and my hamster. "Have you seen this movie, If You Can Only Imagine?" He said, "You got to see it." He said, "Lisa and I just watched it. You got to see it." Now, if you have or you haven't seen it, the whole movie is about father-son relationship, right? And a father who didn't believe in his son, didn't affirm his son. It's a heartbreaker. It didn't believe, it didn't affirm his son. So especially we as fathers, you know, right now in America, there are 1 million babies a year being born into a home without a father in America. It's online. Checked it today. 1 million babies a year in America born without a father. So we as dads, we as men, we as fathers, we need to be speaking over our children, affirming them, affirmation, positive confession, tell them we believe in them, tell them we love them, tell them we're behind them, tell them we support them. Come on, somebody. Tell them we want to help you reach and fulfill God's destiny for your life. God has a plan for your life. You need to say that continually, consistently, with creativity. Continually, consistently, with creativity. You need to be affirming them, not tearing them down, not running them down, but building them up. Not belittling them, but building them up. Not sarcasm, not negativity, not criticizing, because that will only destroy their life. Are you with me? And if I'm that kind of parent, when they get older, they'll never want to come home. They'll never want to come back. They'll never want to be around you. All right? So the first word was to bring the best out in our kids, it takes acceptance. And they have to know it, that they're accepted. Number two, it takes attention. They have to see it. It's face to face. It's heart to heart. It's total attention. Number three, affection. They have to feel it. Number four, affirmation. They have to hear it. And what does that do? That connects you with them. If you're connected to them, then you're able to direct their life. If you have a relationship, then they tend more to obey the boundaries, the foundation, the values, and the rules you have in the home. Oh, this is encouraging me. Praise God. Amen. I hope it's encouraging you. So let's look at the word, Psalm 127. Psalm 127. And we're going to read it in the King James and then the Amplified. But it's loaded for parenting and building a strong house. Except the Lord build the house, they that labor in vain that build it. Except the Lord keep the city, the watchman waketh but in vain. Next verse. It's vain for you to rise up early, to sit up late means to worry, to eat the bread of sorrows, for he giveth his beloved sleep. The Hebrew says he'll talk to you in your sleep. That's why it's real important, the last thing you do at night before you go to bed, because you can prepare for God to talk to you while you sleep, or you can prepare yourself not to hear him while you sleep. This verse says he wants to talk to you and help you solve problems in your career, your life, your marriage, your family, your parenting, your kids, while you sleep. Isn't that good? So he says he gives his beloved sleep. In the Hebrew language, it says he talks to his children, the beloved, in their sleep. Next verse. Lo, children are a heritage of the Lord. Can you say that with me? Lo, children are a heritage of the Lord. Now, the word heritage in the Hebrew language, you look it up in a Hebrew dictionary, means assignment. Your kids are your assignment. They're not a mistake. They are an assignment. Now, this chapter is going to tell you your role and who they are. And as a parent, it's not a part-time job. Grandparent, it's not a part-time job. And notice it began, except the Lord build the house. So number one, if you're a note taker, God has got to be at the center of your house. God has got to be at the center of your house. We need God's help to be godly parents. And I've got to be a godly parent to raise godly children in an ungodly world. It all starts with a parent, by the way. All right? So, lo, children are an assignment. Everyone say assignment. So see, your children, your first ministry is to you and the Lord. Your second ministry is to you and your family. That's your assignment. Amen. What is it? What if a man can't take care of his household, he's worse than an infidel. All right? So he says, lo, children are an assignment of the Lord, and they're the fruit of the womb, and they are a reward. So notice it says, they're an assignment, they're a gift, and they're a reward. Well, that's a proper perspective as a parent, isn't it? They're not problems. They're not taking up my time. They're not accidents. They're not mistakes. The other day, we were in another city, and I had my grandkids, and seriously, we were walking down. We were actually, Tony, taking a hike, and we're out on the mountains there, and we were walking the mountains, and here comes some hikers, and I heard them say, "Oh no, here comes a bunch of brats. They're going to ruin the neighborhood." That's what they said. Right then, I just felt like I wasn't a Christian. I didn't feel saved all of a sudden. I felt like a grandparent. I felt like I wanted to go lay hands on them. Say, "You selfish." Anyway, we won't go there. Praise the Lord. So children, according to the Bible, are our assignment. Children are a gift from God, and they are a reward. Oh, my goodness. And we have to have God, number one, we have to have God in the center of our life to be godly parents and have a godly house and raise our children to be godly in an ungodly world. Number two, we have to see our children as God sees them. We have to see our children as God sees them. Okay? So, although children are an assignment of the Lord, and they're a gift, fruit, and they're a reward, verse 4. And as arrows, oh, here's the what? The fourth thing? They're arrows. Children are arrows. Now, what this implies is they have a direction to go in. An arrow, what do? Put it in a bow, and you send it in a direction. So as an arrow, signifying our children then, not only are they a gift, not only are they an assignment, not only are they a reward, but they're also an arrow. And an arrow has a direction. So it's our assignment to help our children fulfill God's assignment or direction, destiny for their life. Not to do what we want them to do, but God's plan for direction for their life. They're an arrow. Every arrow has a target. And you want to aim the arrow towards the target. And you want to hit the center. Amen? So it says that not only are they a gift, a reward, an assignment, but they're an arrow. They have a direction. They have a destiny. All right? And they are in the hand of a mighty man. Circle the word, mark the word hand. It's a reference to parent. Parent. They're in the hand of the parent. So it's not the school's responsibility. It's not the church's, even though we're doing everything we can to support you, to help you be a success in parenting. With next week's Summer Blast, with our children's services, the curriculum we do, the things we send home with parents, we're getting ready to start small parent groups just for parents at our church. Oh, I'm excited about that next year. We're doing everything we can do to help you succeed as a parent because they're in your hand as a parent. And you and I are accountable and responsible to train them up in the way they should go. Right, church? What a great assignment. What a privilege. What a ministry. What a responsibility. As arrows in the hand of a mighty man, so are the children of youth. Next verse. Happy and also blessed. And God wants us as parents not to be frazzled, fatigued, worn out, burnt out, unhappy, miserable. He wants us to be happy and blessed. Amen? Happy and blessed is the man or the woman that has a quiver of them. They shall not be ashamed, but they shall speak with the enemies in the gate. Let's go back and look at it through the Amplified. Amplified version, back to verse 1. Except the Lord builds the house, they labor in vain who build it. So we need God to be the center of our home. How do we make him the center of our home? Family devotions. We make him the center of our home by talking to him at the first one to talk to in the morning, and our kids seeing that. By going to church on the first day of the week. By giving God the first part of our income. By having family get together, and we go to God before we make major decisions. You put God at the center of your home because we need God's help. How can we raise godly children if we're not godly parents? Because we reproduce what we are, not what we want. Amen. It doesn't work sending our kids to church. It doesn't work telling them one thing and doing another. It doesn't work, okay? So except the Lord builds a house, they labor in vain who build it. Except the Lord keeps the city, the watchman wakes but in vain. Next verse. It's vain for you to rise up early, to take rest late, to eat the bread of anxious toil, for he gives what? Blessings in your sleep. Isn't that awesome? When you make God the center of your home, the center of your life, you ask God to help you be a godly parent, guess what? He'll talk to you while you sleep. He'll help you solve problems in parenting while you sleep if you ask him. He'll bless you while you sleep. You're blessed when you're lying down, and you're blessed and you're rising up. I think that's in the Bible somewhere. Amen. Next verse. Behold, the children are a heritage, an assignment from the Lord. Fruit of the womb, they're a reward. Verse 4. They're arrows in the hand of a warrior. Verse 5. Happy, blessed, fortunate. I like those words. They will not be put to shame when they speak with their adversaries in gatherings at the city's gate. All right, so there we see it talks about the role of the parent. Our role as parents is to see our children as assignments, as ministry. We're to invest, we're to impart, we're to influence. Yeah, we are to see them as arrows. They have a God's plan for their life. God has a destiny. We're to head them in the right way. We're to lead them to God. We're to lead them to a God who's for them. And we're to train and teach them that God has a purpose for their life. Amen. We see them as arrows, as rewards, as gifts, as assignment. We make God the center of our home and the center of our life. And we model it to our children. We model it to them. And it talks about if we do that, the happy and blessed and envied will we be. Amen. All right, but then next, let's go to Psalm 128. Psalm 128. Psalm 128. Now, you know when the Bible was written, there were no chapters and verses, right? Okay, so let's continue. Blessed is everyone that feareth the Lord, that walketh in his ways. Notice, blessed is everyone that fears the Lord, honors the Lord, puts the Lord first, and walks in his word. Puts the word first. Next verse. For thou shalt eat the labor of thy hands, happy you'll be, it shall be well with thee. The word well in the Hebrew means prosperous, having prosperity. Next verse, thy wife, is talking about family. The context is the home. The context is leadership in the home. Mom, dad, if we'll honor the Lord. Mom, dad, if they see us read the Bible. Mom, dad, if we teach them like Pastor Kim said at prayer, Deuteronomy 6, verse 7, talk about the word when we're walking with them, talk about the word when we go to bed, when we get up, and when we're eating, talk and teach the word to our kids, walk it, live it before them, yeah? Then what's going to happen? He says, your wife will be blessed, she'll be fruitful, and your children will sit around the table like olive plants. Have you ever heard that you're supposed to talk to plants? That goes back to affirmation over your children. What you're saying over them, what you're speaking over them, what you're declaring over them. Verse 4, behold, that thus shall be the man who's blessed, the husband of the father, the mother of the father will be blessed, who puts God first, who honors the Lord, who leads the way, who leads their kids to God, who points them to God through prayer. All right? Blessed you'll be. Verse 5, the Lord will bless you out of Zion, that's the church. You'll see the good of St. Peter's, you liken it to where you live, all the days of your life. I like all the days of your life. Amplified, let's go back to verse 1. Blessed, happy, to be envied is everybody, every mom, every dad who fears, reveres, and worships the Lord, then who walks in his ways and lives according to his commandments. Did you know there's a difference between training your children and teaching your children? There's a difference between we're to train our children, but we're to teach our children. Train up a child in the way they should go, and when they're old, they'll not depart from that. That's not teaching, that's training. There's a difference in the Bible between training and teaching. We're going to look at it in just a minute. One of them, the teaching, would be giving them lessons from the Word of God, all right? Stories, Bible-based, teaching principles, lessons. Listen very carefully. Been pastoring for 40 years. counseling a lot of people, see a lot of heartache in families. Kids that grow up don't serve God and don't come back to church because of their parents. Why? Because they didn't live it out in their life. You train them with your life. You teach them with lessons. Oh, praise God. You train them with your life, your example, and you teach them with lessons. You know, Bible stories from the Bible, curriculum, study aids, studying. There's two parts. And a lot of times what we see is parents will bring their kids to church and they'll hear a lesson, but they go home and their parents aren't living the life. So the life doesn't match up with the lesson. So the kids say, I don't want that. It's hypocrisy. Didn't work for my parents. I have nothing to do with it. As a parent, my life has to match up to the lessons that I'm teaching them. I have to live what I say. Amen? Okay. All right. So blessed, happy, fortunate to be envied is everybody who fears, parents, revere, worship the Lord, walk in his ways, live out his commandments. Verse 2. For you shall eat the fruit of your labor, so it's hard work. You got to fight for your family. It takes time and effort. How do you spell love? Time and money. Time and money. You have to invest time in your family and money in your family. And that shows them that you love them. So he says, for you shall eat the fruit of the labor of your hands, happy, blessed, fortunate, as the team comes out, shall you be, and it will be well or prosperous in your home. Next verse. Your wife will be like a fruitful vine of your house. Your children will be like olive plants. Verse 4. Behold, you will be the man blessed who reverently, worshipfully fears the Lord. Next verse. May the Lord bless you out of Zion, his sanctuary, that you will see the prosperity all the days of your life. Verse 6. Yes, may you see your children's children, peace be upon you and Israel or the family of God. Is that awesome? Now, one more scripture, Proverbs 22, verse 6. What I was just referring to, Proverbs 22, verse 6. Train up a child. Didn't say teach. Said train. How do you train? With your life. With your life. How do you teach? With lessons. With instruction. And there should be instruction and correction balanced out in the home. But train here doesn't necessarily just mean teach. It means lifestyle. So if I say one thing at church and another thing at home, then I'm not training my children up in the way they should go, right? I'm letting them down. I'm letting them down. In other words, the greatest way to influence and impact your children is you got to model it and live it before them. You got to model it and live it before them. You got to be the example. You got to take the initiative. You got to be the first one. You got to humble yourself and be the first one. You got to lead the way. You got to, whatever you want them to be, if you want them to come to church, you get to. If you want them to read the Bible, they got to see you do it. If you want them to give, they got to see you do it. If you want them to worship the Lord, they got to see you do it. If you want them to treat people kind, they got to see you do it. Amen. They're going to do what you do, not what you say. What you say is the teaching. What you're doing is the training. What you say is the teaching. What you do is the training. You need both, but they have to line up together. Again, 40 years of ministry, been here long enough to see people raise their kids up and their kids not serve God, their kids not live for God. A lot of the kids that my kids went to school with here at our Christian school, they have nothing to do with church today. You have to always pin it back to the parent. Now, I didn't say that to condemn any of us, because I'm the very first one to say we are not perfect. None of us are. We make mistakes. God's a perfect parent, and his kids blew it. Adam and Eve. So don't get down on yourself. Don't condemn yourself. You know, you can't go back. Can't unscramble scrambled eggs. But we can start today, wherever we're at. We can start right now. We can be honest. We can be humble. And we can work hard. Amen? Come on, give the Lord a good praise. So teaching is what you're saying. Training is how you're living. So he says, train up a child, live it in the way they should go, keeping with their individual gift or bent. So we accept them as they are. We don't compare them. nor try to conform them to anybody else. Any other of our children, somebody else's children, they have a gift, and it's our assignment to help them discover it, develop it, and utilize it to lead people to God and help people discover God's purpose for their life. Amen? To see our children and our children's children serving the Lord all the days of their life. I'm out of time. Did I help anybody tonight? Give the Lord a big thank you for strong families. Come on. At Church on the Rock. Hallelujah. Praise the name of the Lord. Amen. Amen. You know, I believe that we want strong families, blessed families, happy families. Come on, somebody. As for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. Do y'all remember Noah in the Bible? Noah in the ark? Y'all remember that? And you remember God said to Noah, said, Noah, said, you go into the ark and your family will follow. It's in Genesis. He said, no, Noah, you go and your family will follow you. Mom and dad, you be the leader. You be the example. We all make mistakes. When you do, admit it. When you do, admit it. You know, our family's not perfect, but when I would make a mistake, and to this day I make a mistake, I tell my family, except Pastor Kent. I don't tell her. No, I tell my family, I blew it. I missed it. I was wrong. You know what? That causes connection. And there's got to be a connection in order for them to receive your direction.